Yeah, I'd say that, not to continually describe the album's sound, but I think our biggest goal was to not rush it and make it the most just well produced, well made, that nothing seems like it was just like slapped on. I think a lot of problems, well, at least I'm sure we were all thinking this too, but it's just like when you see like a band starting up, and you know, we are sort of, we did this too, where it's just like you record something and just like I just want to quickly like get it out, like want someone to hear it, and it could be like you recording on a nice USB mic on like Audacity, but and it's cool to you at the moment, but like in the scheme of things, like I was starting to realize that what's cool to me is not necessarily what's cool for a lot of people. Like maybe my friends will be like, "Oh, nice job, Bethel." Like, I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I think we all really want this album to be like a modern classic.
Yeah,
like we want the whole U.S. United States to hear it.
Yeah.
Just need that Pitchfork review.
Yeah.
These guys are. Do not like the reviews.
Yeah,
it's so harsh.
I know they are so harsh.
Dear Lord, we're nothing like Ed Sheeran.
So. Yeah, I mean there's something
never
to be
harsh
said.
When they need to be harsh.
Ed Sheeran.
There's something to be said. I mean, going off on a tangent. There's like Mac DeMarco, like was like selling out shows because they gave him a good review, like on two. Like
they're culture movers.
Yeah, I mean, for better or for worse, like, I mean, a good review from them would be nice.
Yeah.
From anyone.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, with all that, what would you say is the overall, like, goal of tone for this album? Is it to be more of a dancey one, or more of an emotional one, or what were you trying to really portray with these songs?
That's a hard question, because a lot of the songs on the album are very different from one another. Like, it's kind of a roller coaster of styles, like, throughout the album. Like, there will be a song that's, like, classic, like, 50s rock, and then there will be a song that draws a lot from, like, contemporary/avant-garde classical music, and then there will be another song that draws a lot from, like, experimental avant-garde pop and jazz. So it's, I don't know if there's, like, really a goal for, like, an overall tone throughout the album. We just kind of want to showcase like what we can do, how we do it, that kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely dancey and inviting throughout, and I think the overall theme of the album is juxtapositions of dark and light. Like there's like, you know, really fun, like, you know, beachy kind of instrumentation sometimes with like more like introspective, like soul-searching kind of lyrics, you know. So
very cool. So with this album, is there a particular either track or thing about the album that you're really excited for people to hear?
I'm really excited to I'm really excited because we like took a lot of risks, and like for an example, there's a song that Brady wrote, and this is just like gives you like a window into like how we work. So Brady writes this song. It's called "Live and Let Love." It's got like a really nice sort of soulful, almost like Van Morrison slash like I don't know, like Smokey Robinson chord progression, melody line, and you know, in the middle, Ryan had this idea. So Brady and Ryan worked out this bridge part, so it's just sort of like an unexpected harmonic change, and Ryan had this cool idea to make a bridge to that, and we're like sort of accentuating, like arpeggiating chords to go into that, and all of a sudden the song, which was like, you know, sort of a gospel-y, rootsy rhythm and blues number, suddenly turns into like a almost Sufjan Stevens-esque like journey into the bridge.
I was kind of inspired by Danny Elfman for that.
It's a very Danny Elfman lick.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So there's just like there's songs that like on the surface level or like the main like riff or hook might seem like, oh, like that's like, you know, that's cool, that's nice, like that's this nice standard like rock band kind of like hook or riff, but I think every song has like a moment that it's just like, mm-hmm. oh, like
it's just a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was talking about it earlier today with Eric. I was like, I termed it like intuitive, like songwriting, and I think it's so there's definitely, you can go like far on one end, and you can go like really nerdy and be yeah. like, I'm playing in like 7/8 and like also 12/8 mixed together polyrhythms, like it's like you might not get it, but like, that's like a so far end of like doing something like interesting mm-hmm. that it's just like to somebody else I'd be like, oh, this is a little grating to me.
Yeah.
but I think it's intuitively we incorporated a lot of things that are cool to us because we are very dedicated to our instruments and songwriting and the craft, but like all those moments are like, I think to a casual listener they might be like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, but they might not be able to explain it. They'd just be like, oh, like, hey, look, that one part of that song that's, yeah. that goes like boo 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 boo, like, like they might not, but it's like all these like quote unquote bookish, nerdy-ish like decisions we made. I think they're all also like appealing to anybody. Like mm-hmm. you can not listen to music that much at all and be like, oh, I noticed that was different than something that I'm usually mm-hmm. used to. So
awesome.
Yeah. Springboarding off that, we just pretty much want to showcase like our full scope as a band, where we can take not only rock and roll, but you know, all different facets of music that we enjoy listening to.
Awesome. Really cool. Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite things about you guys, is that over in the surface, they're very catchy and fun songs, but when you like really listen to them, there are some really cool intricacies that you like want to go back and listen to over and over and over, and that's just from me hearing them live, so I'd imagine they're even cooler in studio, especially mm-hmm. with all the instruments you're saying.
Yeah.
We'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with all that experimentation, was there ever one song or idea that just did not work out well?
No. For a while. I mean, like, Eric brought in this song called Through the... Well, it's right now called Through the Trees.
I think that's okay to call it that now.
Okay, yeah. Well, so it has, like, this crazy rhythm that at first, you know, we were like, I just don't know if this is going to work. But in the spirit of giving all ideas a chance, we rehearsed it up and, like, got it nice and polished, you know, learned all our rhythms and parts and got everything nice and together, and eventually it ended up being a song we really loved. You know, I wrote a song that was challenging for everyone at first, and
still we
have to polish it up before every show. But
yeah.
So I think ideas are too out there at first, but like after a few weeks of like you know, getting it all nice and polished, then it ends up being not too out there.
I mean, yeah, we're all I'd say pretty much on the same musical wavelength, so we're able to take like basically any idea that someone brings in and bring it to a level of fruition that is at the top of our game.
Mm.
Like, I don't think there's really been an idea that has floated through the group where it's just been like just mediocre the whole time and then just eventually trashed. I mean, we can take even like mediocre first ideas and turn them into something that's like tight as a mother or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, because if it sounds mediocre at all, someone's gonna say, I just don't feel that.
Yeah, exactly. And then yeah, something else will come in and kind of like attach itself onto it and then like just make it so much better and so much more than what it was at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I'd have to say that if a song was brought to the table that was like, so it could be either way. So it could be a song that's more simple, that like, you know, strumming it on acoustic guitar, it'd be pretty, you know, standard kind of like a songwriting song.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think as a band, we brought that, we like, you know, like I said before, we sort of injected it with sort of new sort of a harmonic movement in one part, or like modifying the bridge or doing whatnot. And then for songs that are like on the other end of like, oh, this is like really hard to get down. It's like so what Ryan was talking about Eric's song, I think we really tried to, like, well, how can we take a song that is on paper really difficult and, you
technical.
Know, mm-hmm. technical, but make it into, like, a catchy, like, tight, like, so I think every song has that sort of consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
Compromise.
Yeah.
cool. So obviously the big thing that you guys are working on is just getting this album out and everything, but do you have any plans for when it is out already?
Yeah, late May.
Okay.
Or like what to do.
Tentative.
Yeah. Oh.
Or, yeah, like, do you mean like what to do when, like, what, like, an
yeah,
album
like
release
what,
show? Yeah,
what
like,
do you plan yeah. on doing afterwards?
Oh,
basically,
okay.
What is the future like?
Oh.
Well, we've got new songs. We're planning on arranging some new songs today after this interview. Mm-hmm. Like, so we're going to play some songs that aren't going to be on the album today at our show tonight. So eventually we'll record another album. We'll play more shows. We'll get outside the Midwest eventually.
Yeah. Hopefully the end goal is to tour and reach the biggest audience that we can.
Yeah. We'll break up, have a reunion tour, and
have a Fleetwood Mac situation.
Four different box sets of the same album.
Then I'll fake my death so the Behind the Music episode is just like through the roof. And then I'll show up in some sort of deity-esque scenario. It'll be like LeBron's like announcement to join the Miami Heat. So, like, Red Scar's like, we got an announcement to make, and I'm just like,
they just burn all our
I'm just
albums.
Like,
no.
Yeah.
But like, I'll be like Gandalf the White. Like, I'll have dyed hair. Like, it'll be different.
Gandalf the Grey. No.
So, no, but I think in the end, or zoomed in, this album is like our first big blockbuster thing. Like, that I've ever been a part of. Mm-hmm. And once that comes out, like, I'm doing everything possible to, like, to promote it, to get other people to listen to it, to play shows at places we've never played before, mm-hmm. states we've never been, cities we've never been. So, once that, the album is released, the floodgates are open, and we're, like...
Game on.
We're like those dogs in like dog races. We're like just waiting in the gates right now, waiting
yeah.
for the door.
Yeah,
to
we're
dog
still gestating.
We're in the gestation period,
waiting for that white rabbit.
I think a goal of mine just from this album is to have like everyone have heard of us, like
everyone
in the United States, yeah. like everyone
no.
who listens to music,
world,
universe,
yeah.
eventually world and
yeah.
universe.
Yeah.
We'll take Alpha Beta 792 by storm.
Well, we could send it off to that new system that they just discovered.
That's what I was kind of referencing.
Yeah.
I just don't know the exact.
I want the aliens that Amy Adams talks to in Arrival. I want them to hear it, Joe.
Did you have something wrong?
No, yeah. I don't know if I should say anything after that.
It's too late. You're
dead. No. Never mind. Yeah.
All right, cool. So as you probably know, with our show, we like to highlight one of your songs. Did you have a specific song that you wanted us to play?
Yeah, Waiting on the Day.
Okay, cool.
It's our new single from the new album that's coming out.
New single.
new since September.
Yeah.
We new to D&D. So.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about that song?
It's one that I wrote. I brought to the band, and... they kind of instantly, for the most part, I think they liked the chord progression, and they kind of liked the kind of the homages I was throwing back to like Beach Boys, because at that time I was pretty enamored with like the Pet Sounds
mm-hmm.
album.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just what they were doing. We decided kind of at the last second to make it the single. I think we had a friend, Joe, help produce it. Joe Bakke, mm-hmm. good friend of ours, and I think it turned out really well. Has a lot of interesting things, especially in the beginning. It has kind of this interesting kind of like synth intro, very space agey, and then it kind of just opens the floodgates to 50s
right
surfer
beach.
Rock and roll
yeah.
kind of.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'd say that the song, so Brady wrote it, and it, like, just by itself, it was just, like, almost like a beautiful, like, jazzy ballad. Mm-hmm. The chord changes were just, like, I think all of us have an affinity for jazz, so, like, when you hear, like, when Brady played the song, I was like, yeah, like, that's good. But then bringing it to the band, like, so Brady has, the chord progression has a sort of, like, a...
All the lyrics.
Yeah, so it's, like, suddenly, like, when I, like, I was, like, I wanted to make this, like, Buddy Holly cricket, the crickets, like, sort of, like, guitar riff. And, like, I started doing, like, this sort of, like, little noodly, like, 1950s thing. Mm-hmm. And then Robbie comes out of nowhere. So once what was just, like, a strummy sort of 50s jazz ballad, Robbie comes with this, like, insane drum beat where he's, like, almost, like, tribal beach jazz. Or tribal,
well,
yeah.
Well, Brady made the comment, we were rehearsing one time, and Brady said, I want this to be, like, kind of like a bossa nova kind of thing, like something, like, kind of in that realm. So I came up with this, like, 16th note, like, tom pattern that, like, I could see, like, just a very non-traditional way of, like, making a beat.
Yeah, I think it's a roll your windows down, drive in the summertime kind of song.
Yeah, it's definitely
that's the genre.
Summertime vibe.
Yeah.
Mm. There's also, like, to add to that, Eric plays this marimba part.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So it's sort of like we...
Calypso.
That's what I was saying.
So it sounds like, that sounds really cheesy, like, on paper. Like, Eric's playing this, like, really, like, happy, like, marimba part. But our friend Joe, like, sort of
Fought that marimba part.
He mixed it in a way to, like, make it sound like, what is this instrument? Is this, like, some sort of, like, ancient 1930s keyboard? Like, what's going on? So,
1930.
That's not that ancient, I guess.